God's grace precedes his judgments. Today, join Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim on the Believer's Voice of Victory as they take a look into God's plan to watch over and increase his church in these latter days.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We are having a special week this week. One of your very favorites is here, Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And she's teaching a new message. Not new in general, but new for us.
Yes.
And we're excited about it. And it's about the Great Awakenings. So Billy is here, and welcome, Billy.
Hallelujah.
It has already stirred me up. I like it so much.
Yes, hallelujah. And the one we're going into, the awakening. We're going to wake up, Gloria.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And the world's going to wake up. Some of those people out there that are so blind.
Yeah.
The Bible speaks of people that are, have eyes, but they're blind.
Mm-hmm.
They have ears, but they can't hear. They're asleep.
They're asleep.
But we're going to have an awakening to God. And where he started speaking to us about this so strongly was June 29th, 2008, Sunday afternoon prayer at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, when we have a corporate prayer. And we were just lifted up as a man and into a place that we hadn't been, really. And the Holy Ghost spoke, and he spoke through me. We were praying about the elections then coming up. That was big on our minds, you know. And then we were praying about Israel and about the nations. And it was as if God shook us. And a word of the Lord came out. There, he said, there is one thing that will save America. And it is not
one thing.
The elections. It is an awakening to God. One thing will save Israel. One thing will save the nations. Mm-hmm. An awakening to God. So he led us to look then at the great awakenings of history. We're going to talk about that next week. He led us to pray about, to begin to, he taught us how to begin, that we're going to have to do our part in prayer for the great awakening to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing that. We're praying every Wednesday at noon, streaming it. You can join us. And so we're going to be looking at that. But save America from what? Save every single person born again. Well, there'll be a lot of people born again. But no, that's not what he's talking about. We're in the time of the judgment of the nations. To save America in the judgment of the nations. To save Israel. To save your nation in the judgment of nations. One thing will do it. An awakening to God. Now,
yep.
We talked about judgment. What is judgment? First of all, judgment is not God sitting up here and he's going to just pound you with a fly swatter first chance he gets. Whoops, you missed it. Oh, good. Swat. No. His judgments are his decrees on a matter. They are recorded for us in the Word. We read yesterday in Psalm 19, 9 and 10 that they are sweeter than honey in a honeycomb.
Amen.
They're not bad. They're good.
You just have to get on the right side of it.
They're what's good, and they are to be rejoiced at. His judgments, we read in Psalm 48, 11, that they're to be rejoiced when you find what he said about a matter.
That's right.
Now let's turn to Psalm 105, and this is very key, because this is his judgment on Israel. And the nations, to escape judgment, they will need to line up with his judgments on that matter. This is Psalm 105, which is all about Israel and his dealings with them. And he says in verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. This book are the judgments
remember.
Of his mouth. We are to remember them. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is Jehovah our God. His judgments are in all the earth. In this earth, he has given his judgment on every matter. He has given his judgment on his covenant with Israel. Look here, verse 8. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. That's his judgment. Mm-hmm. Nations will, and it talks about his judgments of his mouth right there in verse 5 and verse 7, here's his judgment on Israel. Now, if you don't want to know the judgment of breaking this covenant, then you walk with this covenant. In fact, it tells us in another scripture, Isaiah 24, 5, that the nations are going to be judged because they didn't keep this covenant. They didn't line up with his judgments. His judgments are his decrees. You are to line up with them. A nation is to line up with them. We are in the time of the judgments of the nations. If America wants to be blessed, if your country wants to be blessed, then they need to align up to his judgments and they need to awaken to them.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the awakening part next week. Now we're talking about the saving part. Saving from what? Saving from the judgments. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm. It is a psalm that the Jews used to teach the alphabet, Aleph Bet, to their children. Each, the verses start, the Jewish Aleph Bet is listed there. And each verse under that heading begins with that letter. Now, every verse in this, and it's the longest book in the Bible, every verse in it has to do with God's judgments, his ordinances, his statutes, his decrees on the matters. And so it's basic and fundamental education for little Jewish children to find out God's judgment on things. So they learn it here like you had your ABC book and I had mine. Now, I used to keep this open on my desk at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and I would like take a verse a day and meditate it. So we're just picking a few of them that talk about his judgments, just a few. Look at verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Notice that his judgments are righteous. They're not bad. Mm-hmm. They're not mean. They're righteous. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. That's when you are reading the word and reading God's judgments and his decree on a matter, and you agree with it with your mouth, with your lips. It's important. Then you skip the judgment part that brings the wrath upon you. Verse 20, my soul breaks for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Oh, my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions are just yearning to know what God thinks about things, what his righteous decrees are. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for your judgments are good. God's judgments are not bad. God's judgments are good. But men don't want it that way. No. We don't care what it says here. We want this, and this is what we do. We tolerate this, and we tolerate that.
This is what we think.
This is what we think.
Which doesn't matter a hill of beans.
Which happened at the Tower of Babel and got them all in trouble.
That's right.
Now, whose judgments on matters today can we trust? On any matter, you know, in this whole world, whose judgment on that matter are we to trust? Are we to trust the politician's judgment on a matter?
No.
They promise lots of things in the campaign. We've been through a campaign. And year after year,
it helps if you know what you're talking about.
Election after election, they promise you the moon, and they can't even give you the dirt, you know.
That's right.
So,
did you make that up?
I did.
You're on a
roll. And we all know it. We all watch the TV. We know they can't keep those promises,
right.
But he promised this, and she promised that, and da-da-da-da. They claim to have the answers, but what we see from politicians is what Jesus predicted in Luke 21:25, that the whole world is in perplexity.
Yeah.
The nations are in perplexity. They don't have the answers for what's coming on
the
earth.
Right.
Well, let's see. Can we trust the judgments of the economists? Those who know, you know, all about the economy. Well, I think not, because they assured us they could handle our money.
Yeah.
They could look after our money. And then one day about September.
Send us your money and we'll take care of you all your life.
We could take care of you. And then in September of 2008, they announced to us the money has vanished.
Poof.
Poof.
the government, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have disappeared.
Why
and
can
the big
I laugh because
this and the big that
of the Lord? He takes
and they're
care
gone.
Of us.
Well, where did it go? Where did this money go to? Where did it vanish to? I don't know.
They don't either.
They don't either.
Somebody
oh, no, they
knows.
Don't either. Because you remember Alan Greenspan?
Yeah.
He was the expert on the economy. Everybody waited until Alan Greenspan is going to speak tomorrow and tell us if the interest is up a quarter or down a quarter.
Yeah.
You know what Alan Greenspan said about all the fiasco that happened?
What?
He said, I am shocked.
That is an interesting speech.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He said, I am shocked. He's the
he
expert.
Didn't know.
Aren't you glad that we can know that God is not going to look over to Jesus and say, I'm shocked.
Son, I'm shocked.
Son, I'm shocked.
No, he's not.
So we can't trust their judgments.
No.
Here's the,
judgment
that
right
we
here.
Can trust.
That's
and
right.
Let's turn to Romans 3 and read about the trusting of this judgment. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the book.
Yes.
Thank God for the book. Hallelujah. And you know what? People are going to waken up to that. I think one of the big impetus in this wakening up is they're so tired of being asleep and not knowing anything.
Yeah.
But look here in Romans chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Those are the judgments of God. Those are what God spoke. Those are what it's recorded in this book. Every bit of this book came through Jewish hands. I often say this, that he didn't have the Americans to put the book out because for one thing, we're too late coming on the scene. But for another thing, oh brother, we probably would have edited it. And then we would have copyrighted it.
That's right.
And then we would have, you know. But no. And the Jews had that awesome respect for him.
The Jews. When I read their commentaries and I think about how long they've been studying the Word.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's awesome. I love to read their commentaries and study their commentaries.
Yes. And they wouldn't dare think of changing it.
No.
You know, they have to copy that. They have to copy that scroll exactly right, exactly right.
They have history with God from the beginning.
Yes, they do.
Which nobody else has.
He committed his word to them. Think of the trust he had in them to do that. He committed his oracles, his judgments to them. What if some do not believe? Verse 3. There's probably a lot of folk around you that don't believe that this book is the oracles of God. What if they don't? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Oh, no. They don't believe this at the university. Just because Professor so-and-so doesn't believe this, does that change this? No.
No.
God forbid. Now, here's our level deal. Let God be true and every man a liar.
That's right.
If it's opposite the judgment of God, the oracles of God, that tells us what his opinion is on anything, then that guy's got to be the liar.
That's right.
And this is the truth.
Absolutely.
As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man, and he is taking vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Verse 6, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? God is going to judge the world. And he's going to judge it with his oracles, his judgments, his good judgments that are sweeter than honey, that are to be desired. He's going to judge men individually and nations as nations on how they either rebelled against his judgments that are recorded for them or how they lined themselves up with them. So when God said to us, he said to us, one thing will save America. Save America from what? From the sure judgment that's coming on nations for having broken this word of God, this truth of God. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:32. And I'm going to ask one of our helpers here if he can hand me my chumash out from my... We have helpers around here, you know. There are... And also in Brother Hagin's book. I want you to hand me Brother Hagin's book from over there, too. That has to do with marriage, remarriage, divorce, and remarriage. It's a great book. It doesn't just have to do with that subject. But it has to do...
Although it's extremely interesting.
It's extremely interesting on that subject. You've read it, I see.
Absolutely.
Now, we're talking about judgments. And when you look at judgments of nations and judgments of men, you have to look at them according to what the Word has said about that group of people. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32, we read this. Give no one offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Three groups of people. The Jews, the Gentiles, your Bible
nations.
Might say the Greeks. It actually is referring to, because the whole Gentile world had been Greekalized, you might say, or Hellenized. It actually means the Gentiles. The Jews, the nations, and the church. Those are three groups of people. Mm-hmm. And Brother Hagin wrote in his book, and this is the book, Marriage and Divorce and Remarriage. He said, there are three classes of people addressed in the Word of God. Number one, the Jews, God's covenant people. Number two, the church, God's own family. And number three, the Gentiles. Everyone who's not either in the church or a Jew is in the nations. And so we find out in the Word of God, the Jews, the nations, and the church, and judgments are coming upon them. The first group of people that are introduced to us in the Bible are the nations. And, of course, America is, it comes from these original 70 nations. Those 70 nations, if you'll turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 10, you will see that those 70 nations were identified to us after Noah got off the boat. With his three sons, everybody had been destroyed. All creation had been destroyed except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. They got off the boat, and when they got off the boat, then we have for us listed the nations. You see that the sons of Shem, the sons of Japheth, and the sons of Shem, Japheth, and Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And this is the 10th chapter, and you'll see right away. Here's where we're going to hear the first time the word nations, verse 1. Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then it starts with Japheth, and it tells us who his sons were. We can identify nations even today. We can identify Greece. And it says these are their families, these are their nations. And then in verse 6 it gives the sons of Ham. And then it starts with the sons of Shem. Now the last verse... verse 32 of chapter 10, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. By these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. God started over. He started over with these eight people, and then he gives us their progeny coming down, and we see listed here 70 nations. These 70 nations are the foundational nations, the fathers, you might say, of all the nations that we have today. They came from these nations. These nations got off the boat, and they are identified to us. There are three groups of people, the Jews, the nations, and the church. When you want to know what God means when he says nations, you have to go to the place in the Bible that it was first mentioned. People go to the New Testament. They try to say ethnic groups, this and that, this and that. All right, they are They are nations, but they came from these 70 nations. And God from the beginning says what he requires from these nations. And we're going to find out tomorrow that these nations rebelled against God. And when they rebelled against God, there came into the earth something called the Babylonian system. Now, the United States of America, and Ken's been teaching a lot on this. Mm-hmm. The United States of America, the nation that you live in, all the whole earth is moving toward a judgment of the Babylonian system. One thing will save America from that judgment. One thing. It is an awakening to God and to his judgments. He has told us how we can have this awakening. And we're going to be talking about that next week, particularly. We can pray. We can have an awakening. Our nation can escape certain judgments that are sure to come because it is written in the Word of God. But God, in his mercy, there always comes mercy before judgment.
Oh, hallelujah.
There will be that 7 years tribulation time, but there's a mercy before it. One thing will save America and cause it to be a sheep nation, hallelujah, in the millennium, and that is an awakening to God.
An awakening.
Hallelujah. We're going to wake up. He's shown us how to do it. We're praying at Prayer Mountain every Wednesday. We invite you to join us online. We're streaming the prayer. We are focusing in. We're going to talk about focus next week and how to do it for the awakening. And we're going to have the awakening, and America will be saved.
Amen. Tell them real quick how to find you.
Oh, BillyBrim.org. BillyBrim.org.
And that's every?
Every Wednesday at
every
noon.
Every Wednesday at noon, Central Time.
Central Time, yes.
Great. Hallelujah. Just think, we could pray all over the world.
That's right.
At one time.
We can do
Isn't
it.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, yes, we're going to do it.
Billy and I'll be right back.
The times of the end are here. Judgments are hitting nations around the world. Choices are being made for truth and righteousness. Many in the church are sleeping, but God is calling us to wake up. He's looking for a people that will hear his voice, obey him, and change the course of America and nations around the world. Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim have selected these special resources that will get you focused, prepare you for what's ahead, and change your life. The Spiritual Awakening Package includes three unique and powerful books. 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity charts the impact of Pentecostal movements as a foundation for the future. Revival Fire chronicles the spiritual outpourings of years past. The Wake Up Call tells the end time vision of Oral Roberts, including his discussion with Kenneth Copeland and Richard Roberts. Now is the time to wake up and prepare for God's last great awakening in the earth. Order the Spiritual Awakening Package today for only $25. This package includes three dynamic books that bring insight into God's Word and are designed to assist you in your spiritual growth. Order extra copies to share with family and friends. Purchase your package online through our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your package today.
You could wake up today. You better wake up today because we don't know how long we've got. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and given him your life, do it right now. Just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it. All you've got to do is make that one decision. Jesus will change you on the inside. You won't be the same person you were before you gave him your heart. You'll be changed, and the Spirit of God will begin to move in your life in a way that you'll know it. And then you receive the Holy Spirit. You know, Bill, we were believers, but I tell you, the big change came after we not the big change, but our outer life changed after we made the Spirit of God. We offered ourselves to him to come into our heart and to change our life. So you get born again, you get filled with the Spirit, and it's just one decision. You're just one decision away from that. So give your heart. Then whatever you do, whatever happens in the future, you're not in trouble. You're in a safe place. because those who follow God have a safety place, a place of safety. So don't wait another day to change your life. You'll be changed. You won't be the same person tomorrow that you are today if you'll just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Take my life and do something with it. Now, these are free books we're going to send you. It's called the Salvation Package. We want you to know what happened to you and what's available to you. I mean, it might take you a lifetime to find everything that's available, but you can get a long way down the road. You read your Bible every day. You find a good church that preaches the Word of God, and you get involved, and you become a disciple. A disciple is a learner. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. This is real. Billy and I, we're here to tell you that the new birth and being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, changes everything. You won't be asleep at the wheel. You'll be awake and you'll be in the right place. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Request your free salvation package online when you log on to our website at kcm.org. Take hold of the promises of God and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see this presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to the 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
We are soon going to be approaching the second coming of the Lord. And we're going to be going over into the millennium. But we are right now in a time, actually, especially with emphasis on the judgment of the nations.